Then they got me as their new leader. I think I understood the problem. Slowly, over the next year, we built trust. It was rarely easy, and it took a lot of difficult conversations, the kind that don't often occur in church settings. But I think Steve began to see that I was just as passionate about his generation as he was. He saw that I was more collaborative than hierarchical, and that I believed deeply in leadership development as a key and necessary component of leadership. He saw that I could support and get excited about someone else's ideas, and that I could make mistakes and wasn't afraid to own them. It was difficult on my end as well, as I tried to walk the awkward line of understanding a generation that I wasn't a member of. I told my staff early on that if I ever came to work wearing leather pants, they could fire me on the spot. They didn't even have to check with the elders. During one of my first programming meetings, I found myself listening as the team got excited about doing a Bare Naked Ladies song that weekend in the service. Keeping an absolutely straight face with a slightly approving nod so as not to appear completely uncool, I left the meeting and quickly called one of my daughters. "Yeah, Mom, totally okay. Sounds bad, but actually a really great choice." "Thanks, Mallory." So we did this funky dance for at least 6 months. Two different generations. Who leads? There is a great scene in the movie Seabiscuit that applies to this idea. The main character, Red Pollard, is the jockey who has been riding Seabiscuit to victory. He knows the horse so well that his riding is intuitive. But Red is involved in a disastrous accident that leaves him incapacitated for months. From his hospital bed, he coaches the new jockey about how to ride his horse. And he lets him in on a little secret, a secret that comes from knowing the animal in a way no one else does. "Keep him back a little. Let him feel the race, the track, and the other horses. And then, at the right time, get him neck and neck with another horse, one that has fire, and look him directly into his eyes. When he locks eyes with that horse, Seabiscuit will take off." For months during his recovery, Red listens and watches as this other jockey rides his horse, until the day finally comes that he is deemed fit to ride again. Although he is in excruciating pain, Red pulls his broken and wounded body up onto his beloved horse. To his surprise, as he rides toward the starting gate, he sees the other jockey riding up on another horse. They greet each other and move into position. The excitement and chaos of those pre-race moments.